Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for bringing us all here together. Thank you that we come to worship you. Lord, I do ask that you would prepare our hearts for that, that you would have your hand of protection over us, and that you would just help me as I bring forth this message. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So honestly, I've had a hard time thinking of what to talk about today. If you know me, I'm generally easily distracted. My thoughts can go from here, they can go to there, and get focused on this, I can then get focused on that. I guess it's indicated by how many books I'm in the process of reading and compared to how many I've actually finished. But I really appreciate the opportunity to be able to come up and share something, because it actually forces me to go through this as an exercise to actually process what I've been thinking about and churning over in my mind and maybe actually come to some conclusions. So, and hopefully you can bear with me as I try to make sense of that today. So a couple of things have really been on my mind this past week that I've been thinking a lot about. And mainly that was the messages that were given on Wednesday from ABT and this whole thought of being prepared as a church to send out, and Joshua and Audrey being prepared to be sent out. And what a commitment that is on both sides. It's a huge commitment Joshua and Audrey are undertaking to prepare this process and learn these languages and be ready to go. And there's a big commitment on our part to be there with them and be a part of that ministry. It's not like we're just sending them away and then they're gone. And at the same time, I've been listening to a book on Audible. Many of you probably know Nick Ripken's The Insanity of God, but I was listening to his Insanity of Obedience. And what's really struck me in the premise of that book is that we don't tend to be obedient. He looks at the Great Commission and he says to him, it's very clear. He read it. It said to him, go to the nations. He obeyed. And he makes this bold claim that if we're not doing that, that we're actually being disobedient to God. So I've been struggling with that and trying to kind of run through my mind and what that really means and says to me. So I thought maybe we could just read Matthew 28, 16 to 20, just to get a framework of that. So I'll start in verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Now, I read that and I can see that. Okay, we're supposed to go to all the nations and make disciples. And then I just thought I'd maybe just take a look at what it says in some other places about that commissioning. And I started to read the other accounts in the other Gospels, and I really was kind of struck and blessed by just how rich a picture you can see when you kind of like take them all together And so we just read in Matthew 28, but if you think of Matthew 28 and verse 17 specifically, it says, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. So if you think back when Jesus rose from the dead and he appeared to a number of different people, and those people were very excited, and they came to the disciples and told them about it. And the reaction wasn't one of, oh, great. It was like they doubted it. And so if we move over to Mark chapter 16, and so now we just said, Jesus appeared to them, they worshiped, but some doubted. And I'm just going to jump in a little bit into 14, and where Jesus came in and he says, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. So it seems we get a little richer picture there of what's going on. And then if we move onward then to Luke chapter 24, and I'll just start in verse 44. So now he has appeared to them. Some doubted. He rebuked their unbelief and told them to go out and preach the gospel to every creature. And he gave an admonition that those who believed in him and were baptized would be saved, but those who didn't would be condemned. And then he goes on even further in Luke, and he says, then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that the repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witness of these things. So here, I start getting that more of a picture that all of this was what he had already kind of set out in his life and his teaching them and all the time that he'd been with them. And this is just a fulfillment of what he had prepared them for. And for me, it's kind of hard to believe that, you know, that they had such unbelief, and he had to rebuke their unbelief because these are the people that were the closest to Jesus. And so then I kind of jump back to Matthew for a second, where he says, all authority has been given to me and in heaven and in earth. And then finally, following up in John, just one part of one verse, and he just says, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. So to me, that's kind of giving a richer picture of what we consider the Great Commission. And to go even further, I guess, is I've had this note on my bulletin board for months. And I can't remember when I put it there. I can't remember exactly why I put it there. But it just had 2 Corinthians 5:18 on it, and it said, the ministry of reconciliation, what is this? And that's been sitting there kind of looking at me for a long time, and it's been coming to mind in all of this. And so let's turn to 2 Corinthians 5 and just take a look at a little section there. I'm going to start actually in, I think I'll just start in verse 16. It says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So all of a sudden, it just made more sense to me. This is all part of the same thing. And I think about what it means to reconcile. And to be reconciled, you know, the definition basically is to reestablish a close relationship between two people or two entities. And so you think about in the garden when Adam transgressed, there became this enmity, this separation between man and God. And where there had been a very close relationship. And the interesting part is that usually when I think of reconciliation, people trying to reestablish a close relationship, it's generally the person who was the offender who goes and reconciles to make things right with the one who was offended. But God didn't do that. He reconciled us to himself through Christ and Christ's life and living and dying and being resurrected and taking his sins upon us. He actually went through that process for us. And so now, for us, it is when we accept Christ and we are part of his kingdom and we're working for him, We've been reconciled, and now he has us go and plead. In the King James, it says beseech, and that word beseech, it's almost like this very earnest, almost begging and telling people, you know, why not be reconciled with God? He's already done everything. He's reconciled you to himself. Now you just have to reconcile yourself to him. And so, all of these things together, swirling in my mind, trying to have, kind of piece it all together, because I still had that whole thought in my mind of Nick Ripken's insanity of obedience. I can safely say, you know, we are all sent to do this work. That is our commissioning. It is, we are to go. And and in light of just how serious the words are, you know, beseeching, pleading, and in light of Mark 16, verse 16, you know, he who does not believe will be condemned. We are called. We are sent to go. You know, right here, right now, so that might mean in our own households, pleading, making disciples, going across the street to our neighbors, then going across the world somewhere else and starting that in another place. That is our commission. And so it made me think, made me meditate on this idea of how closely our disobedience and unbelief related. And this idea that this is written to everyone. We are all called to go out and plead that everyone would reconcile themselves to God, thereby making disciples, people entering into his kingdom. This is honoring our king. This is obeying our king. So if we're not doing that, or I'm not doing that, because I struggle with that, that's why I've been kind of have this on my mind, is that disobedience, could that lead to unbelief? And that unbelief is spoken up very strongly. So in all this, thinking about this and realizing, you know, this is just starts here. It starts in our homes. It starts in our neighborhoods. It moves to across the world. But in essence, we're all called to do this. We're all called to be a part of it. When I think about that, I'm like, wow, that actually inspires me. And it reminded me of Earl Peachey when he was speaking up here, and he sat down in that chair, and he said, oh, God, I just want to show me what to do, and I'll just sit here. And he said, no, get up. Get up. Be active. That's what this is inspiring me to do, is to get up, get out of my chair, and be active. And I'm just eager to see if we can do that together. May God bless.